Hello everyone, Tomasz here, and I apologize, it took me a little while to come up with this 8th episode of the podcast. Things are being pretty busy over at the website. There is so much going on. We are preparing something very special for you. But here I am. This is the 8th episode of the Fujilove podcast, and today I have a very special guest. His name is Luca Bracali. And I'm sure some of you have already heard about Luca. Luca is an Italian Fuji X photographer. He's a wildlife, landscape, you know, travel photographer. It's a guy who spends, you know, 4 or 5 days a year at home. And otherwise, he's always on the go. And it was really a pleasure talking to Luca. We talked over Skype. I had a chance actually to meet Luca in Tokyo during the Fujifilm event, but we recorded this interview via Skype. And even though I could just feel the amazing enthusiasm and the excitement which Luca is all about when it comes to traveling, to photographing the world and showing the images from all around our globe. So, as usual, without further ado, here is the interview with Luca Bracali. Enjoy and leave a review in iTunes if you enjoying this podcast.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Your weekly dose of photography inspiration and all possible Fuji X related goodness. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome, Luca. Welcome to Fuji Love. It's really nice having you on this show. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Thomas. I'm doing very great because I'm absolutely busy, 360 degrees. And so, yeah, I'm very excited.
So you're traveling a lot these days?
Yes. 2015, for instance, I got 91 flights and I visited 15 countries. So a total of 138.
Exactly. So I you know, just before we started this interview, I looked at your Wikipedia, you know, biography, and I read that you have visited exactly 138 countries so far. So yeah, this is pretty impressive number. is there still a place you haven't seen and you really would love to visit?
Yes, basically, I think 10, 12 countries in the world, and then I will be pretty much done. Well, not satisfied because, you know, as long as God helps me, you know, with my health, I'll keep traveling the world. And of course, I'm repeating, you know, like I've been, for instance, 15 times maybe in the Lofoten Islands. Or 5 times in Iceland, or maybe 20 times in the United States. So, but I have at least 10, 12 places, country to discover. Yeah.
Okay. And do you have any, you know, favorite location you really love coming back to?
My heart is beating for Lofoten Islands and Iceland for sure, and Svalbard Island. So all the Arctic area, also Greenland and Alaska and Arctic Canada. So whatever is Canada, whatever is Arctic, whatever is cold, whatever is ice freezing, it's definitely my world.
Yeah, this is very interesting because you are Italian, yeah. So you guys have rather warm climate. Is that why you enjoy those cold locations?
No, well, I don't think is the main reason. It's just because it's a challenge. It's a challenge. You have to be experienced, I mean, to take good pictures. But going to India or Kenya or, you know, Australia, well, it's very easy in a way. If you have just a little bit of technique and a couple of, a camera and a couple of lenses, you can take really, you know, great shots with no big efforts.
Okay.
But the very big challenge is when you go up north, you don't have light. You are in the total coldness, in the very wilderness area. And when, for instance, I trek until to the North Pole, geographic North Pole at 90 degrees, What do you have there? Snow. What? Cold. So it's hard. It's hard taking picture and being creative, you know, in such condition. This is sure. What I mean.
You have to be really careful for sure not to underexpose the shots, right?
So and the white balance. And the white balance also is also important. So,
right. Yes. So you photograph landscape, you know, different cultures and also wildlife, right?
Yes.
Which of those genres is closest to your heart and why?
If you pretend you have three children and I ask you which one do you love the most?
Okay, yeah, I think you answered the question. Yeah.
Okay. So and, you touched the three focus points of my life: landscape, people. So landscape and mountains, whatever is including landscape, nature,
right?
Wildlife and people. So those are my three focus points. If you tell me if I love still photography or wedding photography, no way. Of course, just those three focus points are entirely my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and when photographing those things, you know, wildlife and nature, is there something particular, you know, some kind of special personal message, you know, behind the images, or something you want to communicate through those images to the world?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. And especially with landscape and nature. Well, it's just for 15 years. I'm trying to recount the story of our planet. I love my heart very much because the heart belongs to me, to you, and it has been, and to everybody else. And it's been, you know, we got like a donation from our parents, but we won't be able to give like an heritage to our children because we are destroying our habitats, you know. And just because of pollution, I know that, you know, Earth is entering into a new era. And of course, climate changing may happen because of, heart is having a revolution. But mankind is really pushing that pretty bad. Yeah. Imagine India and China and so far as Asia, what the overproduction they do. Do you think they have control over the industry? No way. So they are really polluting the world. And so the destruction of the world become, you know, start from this. And I'm trying to have, you know, start documenting, you know, this fact by shooting images and by filming as well as a documentarist and filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So and I realized that in 15, 20 years, you know, I started shooting like the planet Earth in 1991 was my first assignment.
Right.
And so in 15 years, in 25 years, sorry, I really realized what is changing, but not as slowly, but pretty fast in a way. Yeah, and I'm worried. I'm very worried about this. Mm-hmm.
I was about to ask you because, yeah, as you said, you have during all those years, you know, 15, 20 years, you said you have been visiting the same location several times. So you must have been seeing it in front of your eyes, the changes actually. Probably when you take a photograph from a location 15 years ago and, you know, a shot which you took 1 year ago, I'm pretty sure some of those locations look pretty different, right?
Yes, they look pretty different because you see the ice condition are different and the outside temperature. I mean, the temperature really increased by far.
Okay.
Lofoten Islands basically was -5 or -10. You get a lot of snow. Now they had 3 months of nonstop rain. Okay. Just rain and rain. No snow and the temperature... Well, in summertime, they reach 31 degrees centigrade. And in wintertime, sometimes 5, 6, 7 degrees.
That's a huge change.
I see. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And they had a trouble also in Svalbard Island because they had a snowfall, an avalanche, because the temperature, instead of being 25, 30 below, was about zero. And right. So I realized it's very easy. So it's if you go there, if you experience, you know, what was the world before, you can see this drama we're living. I can speak to you about Churchill. Let's go to Churchill, where, you know, my favorite place for shooting, of course, polar bears.
Right.
You had in November, October, November, 25, 30 below. Last year, I had 3 plus 3. Wow. Plastering.
Okay.
So you see, it's absolutely a different war. It's not the war I knew 25 years ago when I started doing my job.
So you are documenting this big change, you know, you have it all, you know, saved on your photographs. Are you using those images? Are you working with some kind of foundations or organizations, you know, to show what's happening and working with them to you know, protect our planet? Are you involved in this kind of activities?
I have to tell you that in 2 months' time, my eighth book will be soon published.
Okay.
It will be about Planet Heart, and it's totally supported by a foundation. It's a bank. It's a big, you know, mm-hmm, foundation mm-hmm. in Pistoia, the city where I'm living. And actually, we are, you know, developing where we'll be donating a part of my artworks. You know, hopefully I'll be selling some artworks and books and whatever, and DVD, and just to support or to help children, maybe helping children and family, or just like a fundraising or directly, I mean, our planet. And the same I'm doing within a foundation in Montreal, in Canada. I'll be having, I exhibited last year in Canada, in Montreal, at Leonardo da Vinci Center. Mm-hmm. And I had three exhibits last year. And this year, the first week of May, they're waiting for my exhibit and for my upcoming book. And they're working a foundation. Maybe this is an exclusive news. And I never tell anybody before.
Go ahead.
that's for your podcast, for Fuji Love. They already opened the Luca Bracali Foundation.
Oh, very nice. Congratulations. Yeah, great. Thank you. So I really love it. I love it, you know, when photography actually and the images actually can make a change, you know, can help people, can help the planet. And so you are one of those guys. This is really, really great.
I have to, because, you know, of course it's too easy, you know, taking good pictures now. You say, I'm a photographer, look at my shots. Well, nice, beautiful, fantastic. You want them proud? Okay, I don't care. But tell me, the final resolution, you don't have to be selfish. You don't have to say, well, I want this, I made this. But what did you do, honestly? What did you do for people, for environment, you know, for habits? You know, you must do something for it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not a photographer. You're just a clicker. You just press click and you're an iPhone photographer, maybe, but not a photographer with a capital F.
Are you subscribed to the Fuji Love newsletter? Make sure you are. Go to www.fujilove.com/subscribe and add your email address to our mailing list to receive regular updates, photo assignments, and special Fuji Love photography offers. Fujilove.com/subscribe.
Have you met Sebastião Salgado in your life?
No, I did not, but I visited his exhibit, his shows, and I have basically three photographers. I'm not coming from the world of photography myself, you know, mm-hmm. just grew up as being in love with art. Mm-hmm. Michelangelo Merisi, Caravaggio, was my idol. You know, just read a lot of books and went to, you know, through his painting to get inspired. Mm-hmm. Then lately, just in the last few years, I just looking just three photographers in the world. So Sebastian Salgado, Steve McCary, and Janaris Bertrand. Great, and I'm used to look at them, you know, their exhibit, their messages. Of course, there are three huge guys, probably the hugest, the biggest in the world.
Right.
What, you know, the small difference, I don't want to, you know, get compared to them because absolutely they're giants. But at least my only little point I have ahead of them, that I really have done a lot of Arctic. Didn't do this, you know, but I've done and I'm doing a lot of Arctic. So with expedition, mm-hmm. with missions, with trips, since 1999, my first time I went to Alaska, to now really had something like 22 trips and expedition to the Arctic area. And so this is I really do have a lot of coverage in the, about this part of art.
Great, great, amazing stuff. Yeah, if you would have to define one general most difficult thing about photographing, you know, landscapes and nature and wildlife, and I don't mean it necessarily in technical, you know, aspect of things, but maybe in rather, I'm thinking about, you know, capturing the scene, looking for elements in the landscape. What would you say is the most difficult thing in landscape photography to produce a beautiful image?
The most difficult things in landscape. Well, in landscape, one of the big challenges is shooting mountains, for instance, because mountains are big, are amazing, are huge, whatever they are. But you maybe, if you're not that smart, if you're not that bright, if you don't use your imagination, they become a postcard. Mm-hmm, that's simply postcard. Mountains are wonderful and are really part of a geological part of our history. And so this is a really big challenge. And then the highest challenge was shooting mountains at nighttime, especially when they are snow-capped and maybe with the northern light. Aurora Borealis.
Okay. It's funny. I think actually we are sitting not so far apart from each other now, because I'm sitting in Lucerne, Switzerland, and just looking at all those snowy mountains around me. Yeah? So somehow we hit the same subject here. Have you photographed in Switzerland?
In Switzerland, I've been different times, but I never shot Swiss mountains. I have to tell you, I got two contacts, two people got in contact with me to get an exhibit, or maybe two exhibit or more, even more exhibits in Switzerland. So I'm dealing, and who know? Hopefully, I'll get a show in Switzerland, and hopefully, I'll do some shooting. But this is a country I crossed many times, I stopped by you know, just enjoying, because I really enjoy, you know, the Swiss lifestyle.
There
characteristics, but never shot the land.
We have to definitely try organize something together, maybe for Fujilove people, you know, maybe a workshop where you could actually teach, you know, because you're also teaching many workshops, I know. And
yes, I do.
You know, there is enough mountains here in Switzerland, so maybe this would be something we could do one day.
Besides mountains, you have everything. You have the real nature. You have the purest nature, maybe, you know, in Central Europe. So
there is nice nature. There is nice cheese and nice chocolate, right? So we should be fine.
Absolutely.
Are you actually using Fujifilm cameras exclusively these days or not?
I'll be starting using 100% Fujifilm in next month. Okay. I'm just waiting for 100-400 lens. Because of course shooting polar bears, it's not easy with the longest Fujifilm lens you have, which is the professional one. It's 50-140. With the 1.4 teleconverter, you get in an APS camera, you only get 294 millimeters, which is too short. I mean, to my polar bears or Kamchatka bears. I shot them, but they're not. So it's the only limit I have. But now with the 100-400, I think I'll definitely, you know, the only 10% missing. I will definitely, with the X-Pro 2, well, I'm absolutely pretty much done.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it was, of course, one of my next questions, actually. I was about to ask you that. You must be pretty happy with the 100-400, right? Have you tried it?
Not yet.
Okay.
I tried, but like in Tokyo, I was invited by Fuji Italy for the happening of the new launch of X-Pro 2 camera, and I touched it, I tested but without no shooting, no any, you know, I just looked through the lens and I realized, you know, the weight, the handle, you know, it's the handling is, you know, it's quite good, but I didn't touch the quality. Okay. But I'll be going to Japan for a documentary next month. You know, now I'll be leaving in 10 days to Iceland, come back to Italy, 10 days of working at TV, and then March 11th I should be leaving to Japan, and hopefully I'll be testing. I wish, you know, I wish I could take some shots to the Stellar Eagle Hokkaido and to the monkeys area in central Japan, you know, where the monks are used to have bath in the thermal area. And that could be a very good location to test my new 100-400.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what was it then in the past, you know, when you started, you know, using the Fujifilm cameras, what was it actually what drew you to the system? You know, what was so intriguing about this system? Why did you start using it?
It was, in a way, it was a challenge because, of course, I'm coming from the world of the high-end reflex camera. And, when you have a lens from 8 millimeters to 800 millimeters, you can do everything with those cameras. But, you know, the challenge was starting 3-4 years ago with the Fujifilm. At the time, they had the X-Pro1 and a very limited range of lenses. And so I say, since, you know, I love, you know, challenge, say, look, you have to test. I mean, if you really are a good pro by using this camera. And what I was soon fall in love is that the system, the develop, yeah, technologically speaking, of the new Fujifilm camera, which is the absence of the bypass
filter. Right.
Filter, so it gives you a very strong, a very detailed image. It's very sharp, and I soon love it. Then, absolutely, when I say to myself, this is my camera, when I test the X-T1 with a flip-up display for street photographers. I'm not a street photographer, but I'm used to do it, you know, sometimes, for instance, shooting monks in Laos or in that area, or, you know, eventually in India. Sometimes you have to do the work, you know, pretty close and getting, you know, bending down, laying down. And so if you get a remote, a flipping up display like that, it is absolutely, you know, functional to your purposes. And then I got the intervalometers on board. So you have shooting on board. So for instance, for star trail or time lapses, shooting, it's very easy. Instead of buying a remote controller, you have everything on board on camera.
Right. And so the whole system is becoming lighter and lighter, right?
Absolutely. And they have this kind of the metrics of the, you know, of the photo diodes having inside a camera. It's a system they have fight the moiré effect, which is absolutely brilliant idea. So they're not. It's not the image produced by a Fujifilm camera is not a digital one. It reminds me. It has the purity of a film of a real film. Fujifilm started, you know, by using film. So I was totally in love with Velvia 50, and of course, you know, I can reproduce the tone and colors and of the film just because. They developed the copyright system, which is a revolutionary. I mean, you don't have a flat image, but this image, in a way, it's a breathable image. It has a three dimension. So I absolutely love. And if you compare with other camera, you can see what I'm can see what I'm saying.
I went through everything, through all of that myself. So I absolutely agree with you. I think that's why I'm here in this camp. Yeah. So your next destination you said is Iceland and Japan, and what's happening after that?
Oh, after that, in April I told you about February Iceland, March Japan, April. You would have Myanmar in May, Canada, the exhibit in Montreal in June, Korea in July, Alaska in August, Tanzania in September, Mongolia, October, Vietnam and Laos, November, Churchill with polar bears, so Canada, and December, I have still to decide.
Wow, Luca, how many days a year does Luca Brocali spend in Pistoria?
I didn't know. but very few, because when I'm here, I'm when I'm in Italy, I have to travel throughout Italy because I'm working in Rome, Ray One, which is located in Rome, and then I have to, I mean, to go around with my crew shooting and filming. So again, I'm in Italy, but maybe I'm in Sicily, okay. Maybe I'm in Sardinia, maybe I'm in the Alps. So how many days in Pistoia? Very few.
Very few.
And I have a wife and two daughters.
Okay, well, congratulations. I mean, managing it all. And I have come to the conclusion, I think that's for sure. There is one place where people can always find you, and this is online, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, so, online for sure. And I have a word for everybody. I always give answer so to people, and of course they can see me online on Facebook. I have unfortunately I have reached 5,000 friends, so I cannot accept any more friends, but I have my fan page where I have 11,000 likes, so people can track me there, or maybe on Instagram, or maybe on my new website that should be released in maybe in 2 days, lucabracali.it. So, or maybe on TV. So I think I'm pretty visible.
Great, great. So we will, I make sure we link to all those places, you know, on the Fujilove website. And so people can find out about all your workshops and your expeditions and whatever you're up to these days. And also I can hear you also have a dog.
I have a dog, you know, who's very curious. You know, of course I love animals. I have turtles, you know, I have birds and a dog, Johnny. Johnny just entering in my office now because he's very I'm talking English. Maybe, you know, he's attracted by his accent. So
great.
Listen, Thomas, keep in touch because it will be some surprise. So I will have an interview on one of the most important Italian photo magazine. It will be, you know, issued in 10 days. And then I will have an exhibit, an exclusive exhibit with other Fujifilm photographer that will come soon in northern Italy. But I can tell you more because it should be, you know, a surprise.
Great. We stay in touch, and whatever you're up to, you let me know and we'll be sharing it with our readers. So thanks so much once more, Luca. Have a, you know, I don't know how long you're staying at home, but enjoy this time at home now because it's something special.
One day.
Enjoy it to the full. And yeah, thanks, Luca. And yeah, we talk next time. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot to you, Thomas. And I say hello to all of our readers.
And here's Johnny. Yeah, right. What was his name?
Johnny is back. wanna say hello, everybody. Also him. So to all of our readers and Fujifilm lovers, most of all.
Thanks, you. Grazie. Grazie mille.
Prego. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook readers group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.